We say hello to our NHL insider, Chris Johnston from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. And CJ, a loss last night to the Colorado Avalanche for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And as you wrote on Sportsnet.ca this morning, all of a sudden, concerns starting to build around this Toronto Maple Leafs team.
Yes, I would say there is some concern in the populace. There's, you know, the Leafs, it's funny when you're following a team that's meant to be good, and I think no one wants to overreact early when wins don't come, and you know, they've been through a bunch of things with injuries and the like, but, you know, it's starting to maybe take hold that this team might not be as good as people had thought. And, you know, obviously for fans or for people covering the team, that you know, starts to take you as more of a surprise. And, you know, we'll see where they go from here. You know, the Leafs in particular have some troubles with their goaltending, you know, which we've talked about, just that they only have one guy they really trust. And you know, that was notable last night. They played Frederik Andersen on consecutive nights for the first time in 3 years. He played great, actually, but they only scored one goal. And that's not enough to beat a team like the Avalanche, who are really rolling and looking like the contender everyone thought they could be.
So what does this Leafs team do specifically when it comes to their goaltending situation? There's the worry that Freddie Anderson is going to be burnt out, and they don't really have any trust in anybody but Freddie Anderson, and they don't have a lot of cap flexibility or any cap flexibility. How do the Maple Leafs attempt to rectify their goaltending situation?
You know, I think they're just going to have to ride it out for the short term anyway, and you know, it may come to a point where they feel they have to make a move. And it might be a more complicated move than just bringing in a backup goalie, because they might have to trade someone, you know, of value to them to clear up the cap space to allow that to happen. But I think in the short term, it seems as though Kyle Dubas is intent on giving Michael Hutchinson more rope. You know, there's talk, you know, with the Leafs coming out to Western Canada next week, and now that they started Freddie in back-to-back games, that Hutchinson now will get one of the games. And I wonder if it might be next Thursday in Calgary. Is it a possibility for him? But you know, there's not an easy answer. I think what the team in the big picture needs to do is you know, where they put their money, which is on their high-end forwards. You know, they need those guys to win them some games. And with a backup that isn't playing great in net, that might mean trying to win 6-5 here and there. But, you know, the way the team is constructed, at least in theory, that shouldn't be something that's beyond their capabilities. So, you know, I think the most pressing need probably is figuring out the goaltending, but on a bigger scale, you know, they need the guys they're paying to pull them through this, because, you know, through 30 games this year, they've got 13 wins. You know, the last 2 years they had 19 and 20 at this point in the season. And, you know, you start to look at the playoff race and all that, and it looks like at minimum they're going to be in a very tight race right to the end of the year. This will be a comfortable second half the way it's been the last couple seasons. And at worst, I mean, they are in danger of potentially missing the playoffs.
We brought it up the other day. It's not easy to solve their problem, given that the cap pinch they're in means they can't allot much money at all to a goaltender without other surgery on the roster. And that secondly, to find someone in the price range that also can help them, they have to be a good goalie. One suggestion that popped up, our pal Jonathan Davis in L.A. noted that Jack Campbell's only making $675,000, an extension will kick in next year at $1.6 million. Is that a trade chip the Kings are dangling? Because when we think about a team in a rebuild, you think about, okay, maybe it's Alec Martinez that goes, or maybe someone can convince Jeff Carter to get out of L.A. or something like that. But that might be an immensely valuable asset for the Kings.
Well, and I do think that they would consider it. You know, if you're L.A., you know, really beyond Drew Doughty and Nonte Kopitar, I think everything else that isn't nailed down is potentially something they would consider doing. I think that they're very much in a listing mode when it comes to what other teams are looking to have happen. You know, I do think at some point they might try to move out from under Jonathan Quick if it's at all possible. But, you know, that may not be something they could do, just given the years left on his deal and you know, the performance he's had the last couple seasons. So, you know, I think Jack Campbell is one of a few potentials. You know, Tristan Jarry in Pittsburgh is the one I've been watching closely, just because the Penguins have a goaltender in Casey DeSmith in the AHL that, you know, was their backup last season. It was signed to a 3-year extension last January at, you know, just over $1 million. And, you know, I do think that they're comfortable potentially moving one of the Smith or Jarry, and Jarry's at $675,000 on a cap hit. The problem the Leafs will probably run into is, one, Pittsburgh's one of the teams like them that's kind of scrapping to make the playoffs. So I can't imagine they're looking to bail out the Leafs anytime soon with that kind of trade. And two is Tristan Jarry just played so well. And you know, it might have got to a point even since I've last checked in on the situation where, you know, they just can't move him because he's been so good. He, you know, could even be in a position where he's taken some starts from Matt Murray. His performance has been so good. But, you know, it is an issue. It's not just the lack of cap space, but I think the lack of potential available goaltenders making less than, say, $2 million or even $3 million that you could get that could help you. It's a short list. And, you know, goaltending doesn't matter until you don't have it. And the Leafs got a very good number one in Frederik Andersen, but I think there's internal concern about playing him too much. And at the same time, they're not in a great spot in the standings, so they can't afford to just be taking a knee on games either. And that's kind of the spot they're caught in right now.
Chris Johnston's with us from Sportsnet. He joins us Tuesdays and Thursdays. So last night, it's a game between Toronto and Colorado, and I found Nathan MacKinnon's comments to Forbes magazine very interesting today, to paraphrase, if you're not aware. I know you are, CJ, but if you're not aware listening right now, basically to paraphrase what Nathan MacKinnon told Forbes magazine, says he does not regret the contract he signed in the summer of 2016, which is right now one of the best value contracts in the NHL. Doesn't mind being on a team-friendly deal, and says he'll take less on his next deal to make sure that other guys can stay too. What was your reaction to what MacKinnon had to say?
Well, forget me. I imagine his agent was choking on his water when he read that story this morning. That, you know, one of the things we've seen is, and look, there's other guys in the same spot as MacKinnon. The deal that he signed when he signed it was fair. And, you know, let's remember that it took him a few years after being the number one overall pick to reach where he's at today. So to get paid what he did on a 7-year deal made sense at the time. It's just that he's become, you know, legitimately one of the best players in the league since he signed that contract. And I would think when it comes time to get his next deal, he's going to have to try to make up for lost time, so to speak, a little bit, you know, retroactively. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of what Roman Josi had to do in Nashville, where, you know, he was on a number in the fours on a 7-year deal for a long time and became one of the better defensemen in the league. And then, you know, he was important to him on the deal that the extension he signed earlier this season to get up there among the best at his position. You know, I would have to think when push comes to shove and it's time to do Nathan MacKinnon's next deal that he's probably not giving out any discounts, or at least sizable discounts. But, you know, that being said, I do think that there's, you know, he's being heartfelt about that. He loves the situation he's in Colorado. He's someone who personally has seen some pretty big ups and downs in his career. You heard his interview with Spittin' Chiclets in the summer where he talked about how down he was on himself. He felt like a failure a couple years into his career because he was a number one pick and hadn't become the kind of player we see today. And so I think his own story is an inspiring one. And let's face it, the Avalanche a few years ago were one of the laughingstocks of the league. And now I watched them last night live. I mean, that's a top one or two team that I've watched live this year. You know, I haven't seen all 31 teams in the building yet at this stage of the season, but you know, to me, like that was impressive the way they played last night. And MacKinnon in particular was such a driver for them, scored his 18th goal. You know, he's been a monster. So, you know, I do appreciate that he likes where he's at. He likes that, you know, the fact he's on that deal has allowed them to keep Mikko Rantanen around and, you know, have them build a team that could become a contender. But, you know, I think it's one thing to say that sort of comment today, and 2 years from now when he's doing his extension, I'd be surprised if he's not getting one of the top contracts in the league at that point in time.
That said, he's a guy that's followed Sidney Crosby. And, like, is there a better superstar discount than what Sid's continued to give the Penguins? Or, I mean, you wouldn't shock you if it was a little under market, would you?
No, I mean, the fact that Sidney Crosby's never been the highest player in the league is eye-popping in itself. I mean, fortunate for Pittsburgh, he wore 87 instead of 98 or something. He would have maybe had another million and change on that contract for all these years. But, you know, Sid has always prioritized team success over his own game. You know, he's been one of the few NHL players that I think has been able to make a pretty good income outside of, you know, what he's paid by his team, just because, you know, especially early in his career, he was used for so many marketing purposes. And, you know, let's face it, there is more to life than money. It's not all about having to, you know, Sid was content to be considered the best player in the league. He didn't have to be paid the best player in the league, if that makes sense. And it wouldn't surprise me if Nathan, you know, ends up in a similar boat, because they've become really good friends. I think what's kind of interesting is when MacKinnon was taken first overall, you know, another guy from pretty close to Cole Harbour. I know Sid jokes with him. He's not actually from Cole Harbour because he's, you know, a street away or something like that. But, you know, the thought was, oh, these guys are close. And I don't think at that point in time they were, but they've since become, you know, super tight. They play tons of golf together in the summer. They do their workouts together. And I think it's fair to say, as a pro, MacKinnon has grown up under Crosby. Is his guidance, what he's doing on and off the ice. And it wouldn't surprise me if something like having that attitude would seep into him as well, because, you know, let's face it, I think what you're going to remember at the end of your career probably is not all the zeros in your bank accounts. It's the success you have. And if Colorado enters a period here where they win a cup or look like they can win multiple cups, and when you have Cale Makar, Bo Byram coming, the team they already have here today, I mean, there's no reason they can't become the best team in the 2020s in the NHL. I think that's possible for them just with the way they're trending and what they have coming in their system. And if you're Nathan MacKinnon, you probably want to be part of that more than doing everything you can to maximize what you can earn individually.
With Chris Johnston, our NHL insider, we talked earlier about the Maple Leaf situation and their backup goaltending spot. Well, the Montreal Canadiens haven't had a lot of luck behind Carey Price this year either, and tonight they're turning to Caden Primo to get the start in net. This is a really interesting spot the Habs find themselves in.
It is, and I think that they share some things in common with the Leafs in that a lot of their internal conversations are, how can we not overplay Carey Price? And you know, they went out and spent some money on Keith Kincaid as a backup, and it just didn't work out. You know, he's actually in basically the same range, save percentage-wise, as Michael Hutchinson. And I think now it's one of these ones, let's see if this works. You know, the Caden Primo has been a nice draft pick for them. He's developed slowly, taken a few years there through the college system, and I think they want to give him a shot and see what he can do. And we've seen in the past, this has worked sometimes. You know, the odd goalie gets thrown in a situation like this where I think it's probably not ideal for Montreal, but they don't have a lot of other options, and you know, maybe can take it and run with it and at least give them a little better goaltending than they were getting, you know, out of the number two spot, you know, under Keith Kincaid. And so, you know, let's see what happens. I think it's a tremendous opportunity for Primo. Obviously, good family lines, as the son of Keith and nephew of Wayne Primo, you know, guys that have been around the league a long time. And, you know, I know it's a big night for that group, and you know, not a lot's been promised to him. I don't think the Habs know exactly what they're going to see from him, but I would say it's a huge opportunity because you know, they are in that spot like Toronto where they're just looking for someone else to eat up starts. And if he plays well, this could be more than just a quick NHL cameo for him, you know, at this point in time.
Get us up to speed on the latest gossip around the league in terms of trade fodder. This is there's always one or two teams that get their shopping done early, and we're kind of getting towards that window now that we're in December.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of tire kicking. The biggest talk, honestly, that I can sense is still on Taylor Hall. I think Ray Shiro's had a number of conversations this week, you know, with teams trying to see where the market's at, trying to get a sense what kind of packages teams want to put together. You know, Taylor Hall was brought in a one-for-one deal, kind of famously. It sounds as though, you know, they're looking for four or five or even six things in return for trading them now, you know, assets, you know, between a combination of picks and prospects and players. You know, some of the teams they're talking to probably have to, you know, deal out some salary as part of that trade to make the accounting work to bring in someone like Taylor Hall. So, you know, it seems like there's a fair bit of action happening there. Again, don't want to make it sound as though that trade's happening in the next few days, but you know, it seems as though the Devils have made that internal determination that this trade's happening at this point in time. Obviously, they fired the head coach this week. You know, I think that they want to see if they can get their ducks in a row to make that trade. You know, I don't get the feeling it's heating up elsewhere. I mean, let's face it, that's the main chip. If you're a team that's looking to win the Stanley Cup this year, that's looking to bring in a high-profile rental, I think you want to see where you land on Taylor Hall, whether you're in the mix, whether you could put together a package that makes sense before you're looking at some other options. But, you know, I do get the feeling that, you know, he's generating most of the buzz right now. Most of the conversation is between the Devils and other teams that are lining up to see if there's a fit there.
How would those negotiations go if you're the Devils? Are you allowing other teams to negotiate with Darren Ferris on a theoretical extension? Do you feel like that gets you a little hamstrung in terms of who you can move him to if all of a sudden these parties are talking extension and Hall wants a certain contract and now you can't move him other places? I mean, how does this play out if you're the GM, or how do you think they're going to do it there with Ray Shiro?
I don't believe that's been part of it just yet. And you know, I think that there's still a point where maybe if the Devils feel they're really close with one team, that kind of thing could happen. You know, at this point in time, it sounds as though the talks are more centered around building conditional draft picks into it, you know, in terms of if the player resigns, you know, you get an extra first or a second, upgrades to a first, or, you know, those types of things, which we've seen done in the past. You know, the Matt Duchene deal had that built in with Ottawa and Columbus last year. You know, Columbus didn't end up getting that extra pick because he went to free agency. You know, the Erik Karlsson deal with Ottawa and San Jose had one of those, and Ottawa got the extra pick because Erik signed his 8-year extension there last summer. And so I think that that's one way to do it without, you know, requiring it. I do know a few of the teams that are fairly, you know, have a fair amount of interest aren't necessarily making this trade with the idea that they have to resign them. So, you know, I don't know that the teams necessarily are requiring that yet, but I think it's a little too soon to say it's going to go one way or the other. It sounds as though, at this point, New Jersey's just trying to get a feel for the market, a feel for the organizations that have the most interest, and seeing, you know, what the best package can be before, you know, maybe crossing that bridge.
Great stuff, CJ. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday. Thank you, pal.
All right, boys. And then after Tuesday, I'm going to be in your town. So that's going to be
that's
a fun week for me.
You'll be at Board of Governors meetings on Tuesday, right?
I am, and I fly up Wednesday to Calgary.
Okay. And what like, and we just said goodbye, but now it just popped into my head. Like, give us a preview. What are we looking at in terms of those Board of Governors meetings? What are the big things that are going to come from those?
Well, salary cap projection is always the big one from the December board meeting. You know, I think, you know, the conversation going on about what's happened with the coaches and this meeting the league had with Akeem Aliu this week will be a topic of conversation in terms of next steps the league can take. And, you know, we'll see what else will go, and, you know, update on Seattle and where they're at in their expansion process. But, you know, what's great about that board meeting is occasionally we get a surprise. And so, as someone who enjoys news, I'm hoping we get a surprise because that'll make it more interesting.
We'll talk to you then. Thank you, pal.
All right, guys. Talk then.
Chris Johnston, brought to you by McLeod Trail Midas. Save some cash and skip the dealer. Bring your vehicle into McLeod Trail Midas, a full-service shop. Check out their Facebook page or schedule an appointment at midas.com.